Not so long ago, Rupert Murdoch's News International was sticking to this line.
If a rogue reporter decides to behave in that fashion, I'm not sure that there's an awful lot more I could have done.
Andy Coulson there. Today, News Corporation paid many thousands of pounds to 19 people whose phones were hacked by the News of the World. The company apologised at the High Court in London. Lord Prescott received £40,000, as did Gavin Henson. Lisa Gower, who was in a relationship with Steve Coogan, got £30,000. The Labour MP, Dennis McShane, got slightly more than that, and the journalist and author Joan Smith slightly less. Some of the payouts, such as those to Ashley Cole, Sarah Payne, whose daughter Sarah was murdered, and Sean Russell, whose wife and daughter were murdered, were not disclosed. In a moment, we'll hear from Ashley Cole's solicitor, Graham Shear, who himself received £25,000. But as Clive Coleman was saying a moment ago, the biggest known payouts went to the actor Jude Law and his associates, a total of more than £250,000. Jude Law received £130,000, his ex-wife Sadie Frost got £50,000, Jude Law's personal assistant was awarded £40,000, while his public relations consultant got £35,000. And here's what Jude Law said in a lengthy statement. Over a number of years, the News of the World conducted an illegal campaign of hacking and surveillance against me. In 2011, I decided to bring legal proceedings against them to try to find out the truth. Today in court, it has been announced that those proceedings have been completely successful. I have been unable to make any statement until now about phone hacking because of those proceedings. Now they're at an end, I can finally speak out about what went on. For several years leading up to 2006, I was suspicious about how information concerning my private life was coming out in the press. I changed my phones. I had my house swept for bugs, but still the information kept being published. I started to become distrustful of people close to me. I was truly appalled by what I was shown by the police and by what my lawyers have discovered. It is clear that I, along with many others, was kept under constant surveillance for a number of years. No aspect of my private life was safe from intrusion by news group newspapers, including the lives of my children and the people who work for me. It was not just my phone messages were listened to. News group also paid people to watch me and my house for days at a time and to follow me and those close to me both in this country and abroad. I have now achieved everything I wanted from this litigation. The News of the World has finally made admissions about the extent of their illegal activity, and they've acknowledged that what they did was wrong. They've also finally admitted that what they did to me personally amounted to harassment and that it should never have happened. They've accepted that the information published in the News of the World articles and the Sun articles that I complained about was private. I hope this means that they will never invade my privacy again. They've also finally given a proper apology. For me, this case was never about money. It was about standing up for myself and finding out what had happened. I owed it to my friends and family, as well as myself, to do this. I believe in a free press, but what News Group did was an abuse of its freedoms. They have overstepped the mark for many years. They were prepared to do anything to sell their newspapers and to make money, irrespective of the impact it had on people's lives. It was not just those like me whose work involved them being in the public eye, but also many other people, often at the most vulnerable times of their lives. It is now up to the police and the Leveson Inquiry to continue their investigations into tabloid abuses. Jude Law's statement sheds some light on what it's like having your phone hacked. I've been hearing more from Graham Shear, who is a litigation solicitor and partner at the law firm Berwyn, Leighton, Paisner.
It wasn't until late January 2011, so just slightly less than a year ago, that I received an approach from senior officers at the Metropolitan Police who told me that they wished to come and see me about not only a number of my clients but also about information that they had found concerning me. And that started the process in earnest for me and my clients. Up until then, we had our suspicions. I felt that it was likely that a number of my clients would be targets. I also felt that, I suppose, I was a possible target as being somebody who was perhaps an intersect between the clients and issues or events or matters of public interest that were, if you like, being promoted as being sensationalist stories in the media.
Was there anything at the time, though? I mean, reading Jude Law's statement, he seemed to have gone through the mill and began to have his house swept for bugs, change all his phones. His information went to the press and he suspected family and friends and all of that. Did you go through any of that?
I have since, I suppose, the mid-90s acted for a number of high-profile celebrities, actors, singers. I acted for Robbie Williams throughout his leaving Take That, and I acted for Jude Law for a number of years, and Daniel Craig and others. During the Robbie Williams saga, when that was front page news, I know I was being followed to different meetings, but that slightly predated the events of the voicemail interception cases. There were a number of cases in the early part of 2003 and 2004 where I suspected I was being followed. I acted for a very high-profile athlete concerning doping allegations, and I was followed to a meeting in the countryside. He was trying to avoid press attention and had arranged with me to meet him in the middle of the Oxfordshire countryside, and I was followed by a car that was obviously trailing me and who actually got caught up in traffic lights. More recently, only a couple of years ago, I was acting for two very high-profile people in the public eye who were going through marital difficulties, who had arranged to meet with me rather than meeting at my office or some public location. We decided at the very last moment that they should meet perhaps at my house. Extraordinarily, their arrival at my house was preceded by a group of journalists in two cars and photographers. No one but the three of us knew the location. And it was just extraordinary. The details of where we were going to meet were sent by me to the two individuals concerned by text message, and I left voicemail messages on their phones. And that was only a couple of, you know, a year or two ago.
And just on the sort of journalistic ethics, if you like, there's no law against following someone, but there is obviously a law against phone hacking. What do you think of what happened to you?
I suppose one can categorise the different types of intrusion. This is unlawful intrusion in the sense that it's criminal activity, or potentially criminal activity. Where it concerns private information between, let's say, members of the same family, or between somebody in the public eye and another person in the public eye, that is one thing. Where it concerns an activity such as discussions between a client and their solicitor, that is highly privileged and protected communication. So it is absolutely disgraceful. That type of activity is of quite a serious nature and quite abhorrent so far as the sort of activity you'd expect from a responsible and accountable national news organisation.
What do you think of what the News of the World did to you?
I don't think it's the behaviour that one should ever expect of any organisation, let alone an organisation that has the responsibility to inform the public in an appropriate and balanced fashion. It identifies failings of self-regulation, failings of an organisation to prevent behaviour becoming excessive. And I also think that the activities of News Group, perhaps even during the early days of the phone hacking claims and the Leveson inquiry, still revealed a degree of revisionist behaviour and attitude.
What do you mean?
I think they strenuously defended whichever claims they possibly could, to then do an about-face and make admissions, acknowledge their failings and make apologies and pay damages. Now, I mean, as a lawyer and as a claimant in this action, I think that perhaps it would have been more sensible for them to accelerate that process of admission, acknowledgement and offer of damages and contrition, and to have done it at a much earlier stage. I think it would have prevented a lot of the angst and a lot of the costs that have been experienced by many of those involved.
Why did you settle?
Because there's always, I don't really want to reveal all of my views on this, but, you know, why does anybody settle? Because some of it concerns issues that are confidential to my client, let alone issues that perhaps are confidential to me. But why is it that anybody settles? You go through a balancing exercise. And frankly, I didn't want to get into a position where I was potentially exposing confidential information about my client or about past events. And so I weighed that into the balance, as I would the level of damages being proposed, and also the prospect that being a participant, i.e. a claimant in claims, is to a degree a little distracting for me as a practicing commercial litigator.
One final question, and it relates to your experience over the years as a lawyer and as someone who represents lots of famous people. And do you believe that phone hacking was confined to one newspaper?
That's an interesting question. And obviously my answer will be entirely my own speculation. I think it's extremely unlikely that it was isolated to one newspaper. Journalists do not work for one news organisation for the whole of their career. There is quite rapid movement between different news organisations. So I think that the techniques that one group deployed rapidly become known to other groups. I believe that there is no such thing as a secret. I think it's a question of time. So if there's more embedded either at the News of the World or elsewhere, I think it's more likely than not, whether it be tomorrow or in 2 or 3 or 5 years' time, the truth will out.
Litigation solicitor Graham Shear. Alice has a news update.
As we've been hearing, the owners of the News of the World have settled 18 actions brought by people whose phones were hacked. All will receive payments ranging from £25,000 to £130,000. The biggest sum goes to the actor Jude Law, who says he's finally received a proper apology.
BBC News at 6 o'clock. This is Neil Sleat. Good evening. The former Deputy Prime Minister Lord Prescott and the actor Jude Law are among the latest high-profile figures to accept damages for having their phones hacked by the News of the World. 36 cases have now been settled by Rupert Murdoch's news group, but hundreds more remain. A year since the Crown Prosecution Service agreed to look again at evidence suggesting that the News of the World was guilty of a sustained campaign of phone hacking, damages amounting to hundreds of thousands of pounds have been paid to at least 18 high-profile victims. Today's claimants include the former Deputy Prime Minister Lord Prescott, the actor Jude Law, and the footballer Ashley Cole, as well as Sean Russell, whose wife and daughter were killed in Kent in 1996, and Sarah Payne, the mother of the murdered schoolgirl Sarah. The settlements mean that 36 claims against News Group newspapers have now been resolved, but 10 more are ready for trial, and the Metropolitan Police said it's dealing with at least another 800 victims. Our legal correspondent, Clive Coleman, has spent the day at the High Court.
Jude Law received the largest amount today. Why? It was revealed that his voicemails were hacked over a 3-year period, leading to the publication of 16 articles. In addition, the voicemails of his family, friends and employees were also hacked. Lord Prescott receives £40,000, as does Joan Hamill, his special adviser when he was Deputy Prime Minister. The Labour MP Chris Bryant is receiving £30,000. He says that he and others are now free to speak out about what happened.
The whole point of taking these cases was to break open the fact that the Metropolitan Police point-blank refused to reopen their investigation and indeed said in Parliament that my phone had never been hacked and that John Prescott's phone hadn't been hacked. But today, News International have owned up to the fact that it did. So I think the Metropolitan Police have got a lot of questions to answer.
Those questions will be explored in the second part of Lord Leveson's inquiry. Today's hearing demonstrates that it's the civil cases that have cracked open so much of the phone hacking story, largely because of the strict burden the cases have put on News International to reveal key, relevant documents. It was this disclosure that led to the new police investigations and to the Leveson inquiry. Tamsin Allen is a solicitor acting for some of the claimants.
They were being told by a news group, by the PCC, by the police, that there's nothing in this and that they should shut up and go away. It's very lucky they didn't.
How important has the disclosure in these civil cases been?
It's led to these settlements, and it will go to Leveson, who will use it in his inquiry. It's gone to the police, who will use it in their prosecutions. So the impact of these claims has been to uncover the nature and scale of the conspiracy to hack phones at the News of the World.
Today represents a significant climb down by News International, which had been fighting the claims. But it's not the end. The police estimate that there are some 800 hacking victims. All of them, potentially, can bring a civil claim.
The successful claimants have not only exposed the sheer scale of newspaper intrusion into the lives of hundreds of public and private figures, but their civil action has triggered new police investigations, cross-examinations in Parliament, and the ongoing Leveson inquiry into the ethics of the British press. Our media correspondent, Torrin Douglas, considers the impact of the dozens of settlements announced today.
After weeks of evidence to Lord Leveson's inquiry, today's High Court statements brought home the mounting financial consequences of the phone hacking scandal. The court heard details of 18 settlements against the News of the World, totalling £645,000, out of 36 cases now thought to have been settled in this way. This was just what the publishers, News International, hoped to avoid when they settled the first case for a much higher sum 3 years ago, in the hope of keeping a lid on the scandal. The football executive, Gordon Taylor, was paid a reported £700,000 after evidence emerged that he and his staff had had their phone messages hacked. That was kept secret till revealed by The Guardian when it exposed the scale of illegality at the News of the World. News International still insisted that that had been confined to one rogue reporter. But a year ago, the company changed its story and strategy after new evidence emerged in a long-running civil case brought by the actress Sienna Miller. It suspended the paper's news editor and said it would cooperate fully with a review by the Crown Prosecution Service. A year ago this weekend, Andy Coulson, the paper's former editor, resigned as David Cameron's Director of Communications. There are more civil cases to come. Meanwhile, the police investigation goes on, with criminal charges expected sometime this year. MPs are about to publish their report on the scandal, and Lord Leveson is drawing up plans for a new system of press regulation. Today's settlements are far from an end to the matter.